In an article in today's New York Times, former President Clinton defends his last-minute pardons of Pincus Green and Mark Rich, the fugitive financiers charged in 1983 with helping their company to evade $48 million in taxes. Clinton bypassed the usual review process to grant the pardons, prompting calls for congressional investigations and a possible grand jury inquest. The pardon of Rich has drawn particular notice because he fled the country to avoid prosecution and because his ex-wife has donated $1 million to Democratic campaigns and $450,000 to Clinton's presidential library. In a signed op-ed article, Clinton said he felt Green and Rich unfairly faced criminal charges when civil action would have been more appropriate. The former president also said he was heavily influenced by requests from Israeli leaders to provide a pardon for Rich. Clinton cited Rich's support for Israeli charitable causes and Rich's support for the Arab-Israeli peace process. NPR's Barbara Bradley has been following the story and joins us now. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Frank.
What is the former president doing with his op-ed piece?
Well, he's doing a couple of things. First, he's laying out a technical legal case of why Rich should be pardoned. Those arguments have been debated over and over again. Rich's lawyers say that he was wrongly indicted, and the prosecutors say, hey, look, if he was so innocent, why didn't he fight the charges in court rather than flee? And what the president has said here in this op-ed piece is that he really accepted Rich's viewpoint. But he's also doing something else. He's trying to deflect a chunk of the blame onto others, like Eric Holder. Now, as you know, Eric Holder was the number two person in the Justice Department, and he said he had been neutral, leaning toward the pardon. Now, mainly he said that was because Israel was pushing for it. But Holder has said over and over in congressional testimony in the past couple of weeks that, look, he didn't have the facts. He never saw the Rich file, so it was only really a casual impression. And Clinton also said that three prominent Republican lawyers supported the pardon, kind of putting it on them, too. But in today's New York Times, they flatly denied that they supported the pardon or knew anything about them until they were announced.
Okay, so the president also says there's no quid pro quo in this, that there was no deal for money, so he's off the hook, right?
Well, not exactly, because investigators aren't really going to just take his word for it. See, there's only one important question here, and that is, what were the president's motives? That's what investigators want to find out. Now, if Clinton gave the pardons in return for donations, then that would be illegal. We don't have any evidence of impropriety, but prosecutors are looking for it. And specifically, they're looking at the role of Rich's ex-wife, Denise, and her rather substantial donations to the Clintons.
So essentially what they're looking for is evidence of bribery. And the question is, how do you prove that?
Yeah, that's right. That's what they're looking for. And it is very, very difficult to prove. But, you know, I got to say, prosecutors do it on a regular basis. In this case, the U.S. attorney in New York, Mary Jo White, has to show that there was essentially a subtle contract between the president and Denise Rich. So the first thing she's going to do is try to build a circumstantial case from documents. She could look at Denise Rich's bank records and then at her telephone records, and that would show if she talked to her ex-husband in Switzerland and then to the White House, and then, lo and behold, there was a donation to the Clinton Library. And, you know, they could try to build kind of a connection there. But as you said, when it comes to bribery, you know, it's very, very difficult. Documents usually aren't enough because you have to show that the president actually knew he was being bribed. And they have to show criminal intent.
Well, in this case, then, a witness would help a lot. How about Denise Rich?
A witness does help, and she's a great witness if she has something damaging to say. In fact, the House Government Reform Committee invited her to testify a couple of weeks ago, and she refused, invoking her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. She said she would testify if they gave her immunity from prosecution. Well, as you can imagine, that really got the attention of federal prosecutors in New York. And they said, wait a minute, no. You can't give her immunity yet. That could mess up our prosecution. So will you, Congress, hold off for a few days while we look at whether we, the prosecutors, want to offer her immunity ourselves? And then there's been another really interesting development which plays into all of this. That same House committee is holding another hearing, and they're going to subpoena some of Bill Clinton's key advisors. They're going to subpoena Beth Nolan, the former White House counsel, Bruce Lindsay, the assistant to the president, and John Podesta, his chief of staff. And what they want to know is, gee, did Clinton really go against their advice? And was there a reason he was going against their advice? Is there something kind of nefarious going on?
Yeah, but it seems to me that raises the question of executive privilege. Those conversations are confidential, aren't they?
Yeah, they are confidential. They really can't say a thing without Mr. Clinton's permission. So Congress has asked Clinton to waive his right to keep them from talking.
And why would he do that?
Well, he may not want to, but some people believe that if he stops him from talking, that simply looks bad. You know, all of this stuff is going to come out anyway, so it's better not to stonewall.
All right. NPR's Barbara Bradley, thank you very much.
You're welcome.